Once upon a time,
we use the preposition upon. Alas, its days are numbered. Prepositions have an important function, usually locating us in time and space. And as the way we relate to time and space changes, we drop words like upon, add others, and modify meanings. Because our usage morphs so much, prepositions can seem, well, confusing. Robert Lane Green says it comes down to how these words evolved. He writes the Johnson blog on language for The Economist.
For example, behind has the hint of the old word hindquarter, the hind. So it was something that was near your rear end, essentially. So they start very literal. They become pretty concrete, but still spatially literal, like behind is a location in space. And then you can say I'm behind in my work, and that's a more abstract meaning.
So they can be grounded in the physical or the abstract. Often the prepositions we use don't make the most sense. We say in debt when under debt might be more appropriate. We open up a store in the morning and close it up at night. An alarm goes off by going on. Even varieties of English differ. We say on the weekend, Britons say at.
Whether a single preposition is correct isn't established by a logic or an ironclad case that this is the right preposition. It's usually just by convention. We dream about something in English. You say soñar con in Spanish to dream with something. And it's just the speech community itself gets to establish what random preposition out of the bag might go with certain phrases or certain expressions.
Since the way we use prepositions isn't obvious or even logical, it can be challenging when we have a new spatial relationship, like moving from physical to digital.
Do you say on or in a website? You know, for example, Slate calls itself a magazine. It's a news and commentary website. But people will tend to say I read on Slate or maybe in Slate. In some cases, the choice of correct preposition, something that takes a little while to shake out. Usually it will shake out. Well, people say I saw it on Twitter, not in Twitter.
And with research studies proliferating in the news, the media have taken to saying a study out of such and such university versus by particular researchers. So, if we're continually adopting new ways to use prepositions, why do we cling to the old idea that we shouldn't end a sentence with a preposition? We avoid it.
Kind of a template onto which more information is added all the time.
Or we do it, but quickly cover up.
Position for him to be in going forward.
Or we try to avoid it and do it anyway.
Those are the things on which we've been focusing on.
The idea of this preposition stranding, as it's called, dates back to the 1600s to poet and playwright John Dryden. He liked to compose his writing in Latin, then translate it into English. More sophisticated, apparently. And in Latin, a preposition must precede its object, period. The idea was condoned in an influential English grammar book in the 1700s and stays with us today.
One linguist I know calls it a zombie rule. He says it's dead and everybody knows it's dead and yet it keeps on coming at you.
The point is that it's often more natural to end with a preposition, as in she adores being fussed over. He likes this project that he's taking on. Who are you talking to? And the ever popular
lived happily ever after.
For CBC Radio, I'm Colleen Ross.